Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Living God, you are the giver of wisdom, guiding those who seek your ways to choose the good. Mercifully grant that your people who feast on the true bread of heaven may have eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Première lecture. Sagesse a bâti sa maison. Elle a taillé ses sept colonnes. Elle a tué ses bêtes. Elle a mêlé son vin. Et même elle a dressé sa table. Elle a envoyé ses servants, elle a crié son invitation sur les hauteurs de la ville. Y a-t-il un homme simple qui ne vienne par ici, à qui dénouer de sens et le dit, allez, mangez de mon pain, buvez du vin que j'ai mêlé, abandonnez la niaiserie et vous vivrez. Puis, marchez dans la voie de l'intelligence. Voici la parole de Dieu.
Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
Oh, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
And it's a long gospel, so we have to find the right one. Jesus said to the people, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which our ancestors ate and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May only words of truth be spoken, and only words of truth be received. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please keep in mind that I've been away, so if somebody preached this sermon last week, it's not my fault. I say that because 6 weeks in a row of the bread of life, there tends to be a bit of overlap. You are what you eat. Quite literally, when you eat what is fat, you become fat. Or if you simply eat too much, there becomes too much of you. Luckily, the literal part of being what you eat does not extend to the shapes, like carrots, and the colors, say bright yellow peppers, of our food, meaning that even when we get bigger, the identity of our guilty pleasures is not displayed for all to see, or you would see before you a big ice cream cone. Many of you will remember a priest named Gregor Snedden, who was here as an assistant at one point, then priest at St. Luke's and at St. Matthew's. And he would often say the following when giving the bread and the wine at the bread communion. He would say, behold what you are, become what you receive. Behold what you are, the body of Christ. Jesus' gift of himself as our spiritual nourishment. Become what you receive, become the body of Christ. Jesus' very presence for the life of the world. And I always thought of these words as sort of, you are what you eat, from a different angle. Receiving Christ at communion, we become the face of love to a broken world so much in need of hope and healing. It's another way of saying that what we believe and what we do, like what we eat, shape who we become in the course of our lives. If a child steals a chocolate bar from the corner store once, we don't call the child a thief. But if a person makes a life of robbing others, we call them a thief. It's become part of their identity, who they are. The more we do something, the more our doing defines our being. The more we participate in the body of Christ, the more we take in the body of Christ, the more we're fed by our faith, the more we become what we receive, and the more we live as the body of Christ. It's so interesting to me that centuries before Jesus shared the Last Supper with his friends, the Psalms, the psalmist, the person who wrote and sang the Psalms, invited us to taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Or was it only Healy Willen who said, how gracious the Lord is? Just taste and see how gracious the Lord is. The love of God is so close, such an integral part of our lives, that there are times that we can taste it, and others can actually see that life alive within us. So it's not for nothing that the reading from the book of Proverbs this morning portrays the wisdom of God, the awareness of communion with our God, in the context of a meal prepared with love, in which God welcomes and gathers and feeds those who come to the table so that they may, it says, walk in the way of insight. In the same way, the passage of the letter to the Christians in Ephesus exhorts us to understand what is the will of the Lord, singing and giving thanks at all times and for everything. Giving thanks is at the center of beholding and becoming Christ's body at the Eucharist, and then as we are sent out to be the body of Christ in the world. Of course, the actual receiving of the bread doesn't take long, even if you add up all the time spent receiving communion over the years. But the scope of its meaning and impact is really beyond time. You will live forever, Jesus said. I will raise you up on the last day. You will have eternal life because of the bread, because of his gift of himself to us. So I think it's the quality of that life in us that matters more than the quantity. I suspect Jesus wants us more to think about staying connected to the love and life that nothing can take away that he gave us, when we think about what it is to be eternal, more than hanging on for as long as we can and then after we die. It's not about how long eternal life is. It's about how alive we are. As everyday food satisfies our need for health and energy and work, so the food we receive at this table satisfies the need that we all have, but so often don't know how to satisfy. I sometimes think of, and I know I'm not alone, of the bread at the Eucharist coming to fill that love-shaped hole in the deepest part of ourselves. A hole that many don't understand and try to fill with things other than love. And a need we still have, no matter how long we have been receiving and becoming the body of Christ. So I've really appreciated the wording that Gary has added to the service lately at the breaking of the bread, because it speaks to this unique hunger that God's love alone can satisfy, and that God can satisfy no matter what the path that has led us to the table. It reads, "So come to the table, you who have much faith, and you who would like to have more faith. You who have been to this sacrament often, and you who have not been for a long time. You have tried to follow Jesus, and you have failed. Come, it is Christ who invites us to meet him here." By contrast, did you notice that our readings today refer a number of times to the fear of the Lord. The best known saying or quotation is, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And I have a hard time reconciling the expectation that we should fear the source of the love that we worship. How does it help us to become light to the world if we fear the God who has gone to such lengths to show us eternal love, to show it to the world and share it with us? Are we to fear our God over and over again at this table? I managed to get my head around this when I remember that holy fear that believers felt at the foot of the cross on Good Friday, as well as before the empty tomb on Easter Sunday. It's a kind of awe, this inability to grasp the whole extent of, and the amazement when confronted with such unimaginable love that none of us, whether individually or all together throughout history since, can deserve. Love that we cannot deserve or merit. Love we cannot earn or buy or borrow from others. How awesome to behold that love, to receive that love, to become that love, to share that love. How awesome or formidable or really overwhelming sometimes to be so fed with that love that we become food, nourishment for the life of the world. We, ordinary old you and me, become the embodiment of what we receive. We become those through whom others see and almost taste. People who have found what they themselves have been seeking. We become a community that reflects to others their own deepest longing. People who have learned how and where that longing can be satisfied. We've come here in response to an awesome invitation. Come, it is Christ who invites us to meet him here. How then will you pass on that invitation to the banquet in which we are fed with the bread of life, where we celebrate in humility, standing in awe of what we receive, because we cannot provide or produce or become it ourselves. We who strive to put words to the immense gratefulness that we feel for the good news that we don't have to even try to save ourselves. Isn't that great? Because the work of saving us has already been achieved. So how do we translate, how will we translate into our actions from day to day? Come, taste, and see. Come, taste, and see what can happen when you become what you eat at this table. The body of Christ, alive, well-fed, ready to become what we receive, the love of God for the life of the world. Amen.
Thank you. thank you, God, that you are a God who hears, a God who cares, and a God who answers. And so it is with confidence that you know us, love us, and hear us that we offer up our prayers in Jesus' name, saying, Lord, hear our prayer. God, we thank you for those gathered here today, for those who are new to St. John's, and for those to whom this church has been a home for years. For this place of worship, community, service, and love, we give thanks to you, Lord, saying,
Lord, hear our prayer.
We ask your blessing on those who lead in our church community. For Shane, our bishop, Anne, our metropolitan, and Linda, our primate. For Gary, Alan, Christina, Pat, Kimberly, Carrie, Jesse, Monica, Barb, Jeff, Marianne, and for all those who serve here at St. John's in roles seen and unseen. We pray to you, Lord, saying,
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those elected to lead in our community here in Ottawa, Gatineau, Ontario, Quebec, and Canada. For Mark and Maud, our mayors. For Doug and Francois, our premiers. For Justin, our prime minister. We ask your blessing, Holy Spirit, that they may lead with wisdom, love, and grace. We pray to you, Lord, saying,
Lord, hear our prayer.
As we enter Pride Week here in Ottawa, we ask a particular blessing on members of the 2SLGBTQIA+ community. We thank you for the diversity of ways in which you create your people in your image. We repent of the ways that the church has sought to erase these differences by forcing people to conform and to deny their true selves. We ask that we may all experience true joy as people celebrate the various ways you have given us to reflect your love. We ask this for those here at home and for around the world. This we ask of you, Lord, saying,
Lord, hear our prayer.
For peace in the world and at home, remembering especially the violent conflicts in Gaza and Ukraine, and also all those featured less in our news cycles. For an end to violence and a flourishing of peace, we pray to you, Lord, saying,
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all those who suffer, are sick or in pain, particularly those we mention now. Lifting up to you also those who have no one to care for them, but are known to you and whom you love. We pray to you, Father, saying,
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those whom we have lost, but who have found their rest in you, remembering particularly Gordon McDougall, and in whose loving memory today's flowers are given by April and family, as well as those we remember now. We give thanks to you, Lord, saying,
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all the things in our lives that give us joy, for our loved ones, our friends, our pets, our hobbies and passions, for all the things, big or small, that make us laugh and smile, we give thanks to you, Lord, saying,
Lord, hear our prayer.
We thank you, God, that you are a God who hears, a God who cares, and a God who answers. And so it is with confidence that you know us, love us, and hear us, that we offer up all these prayers in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
As our Savior taught us, let us pray.
Oh,
peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be upon you this day and always. Amen. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.